I told you that tonight was going to be a little bit different, and not just because I'm not Brian, because Brian is really good at what he does. I'll say that. I can't even tell you how blessed we are to have Brian Hedges as our pastor. But Brian is at, he's finishing up a conference in New Philadelphia, Ohio, I think is where it's at. It's the Certainty Conference, and he was teaching on the book of Revelation, if you can believe that. But that's not what I'm going to teach on. He told me I could do whatever. He would give me some of his notes, and I thought that is not, I don't even want to touch Brian Hedges' notes and try to teach those. But I was kind of kicking around what to teach. Usually, let me back up. If most of you guys know me, I've been around for a while, but if you don't know me, I'm Jason. I'm the Passpoint Bible Fellowship leader, pastor, whatever they want to call it. I don't know. I'm not big into titles, but in Passpoint, I like to have a good time. I like to laugh. I like to ask questions. I like some sort of interaction, so I'm going to need some of that tonight, just as we go through this. But I really love the Bible, and I really love teaching the Bible. And for as much as I like to have a good time and be real with people, there has to be a time when you get serious about the Bible. And so as I was, usually on a Wednesday night, I would come in here and I'd pick something and I would take it out of the Bible and I would teach it, preach it, whatever you want to call it. But I kind of, as I was kicking things around, I sent Brian a text last night and I asked him, because this weekend is the Burnt District Festival and it seems like things just kind of sneak up on us, because it's always like, oh, it's a few weeks away, it's a few weeks away. And then now it's like, hey, I've got to be there on Friday. And I'm really excited for that, because if you don't know me, I'm definitely not an evangelist. I am terrified to get out on the streets and share my faith, but yet we've been to London 3 separate times to do just that, because I believe it's very important to be obedient, and that's what God has called us to do, to be obedient, to get out there and share the gospel. And people will ask you 100 times, isn't there a better way? Well, there might be, but I never really found in the Bible where it said find a better way. It just said do it. So that's what we do. And so I text Brian last night and I was like, you know, I'm kicking around maybe just talking about evangelism tonight. And not that I have any kind of expertise on evangelism other than I know we're supposed to do it. And I just wanted to take some time to talk about it and maybe have a conversation about it, because I think we have a lot of false perceptions when it comes to evangelism. We think somebody says we need to evangelize, we need to do this, it's something we got to do, and we're like, yeah, we do, or you do, but because you're one of the leaders, or you're the pastors will take care of that. That's false. And if that's your mindset, then I pray that you will at least just step back and hear me out tonight, because that's unbiblical. It has nothing to do with having the pastor or the leader go do that, but it has everything to do with being obedient to what the Bible says to do. And so I was just like, hey, do you care? And I'm like, I know this isn't my area, really. We should have Jeremy Bonnison come up here and do this. But I was like, can we just talk about evangelism? And Brian was like, that's great. Because how many of you are doing something with the Burnt District thing this weekend? How many of you are gonna get out and do it? You know, because we always say that we want to be involved, we want to be involved, we want to be involved. But then we wait for the thing that is something we like to do to get involved in. I mean, let's just call it what it is. And maybe you don't. Maybe you're involved in everything. Praise the Lord. You're awesome. But this is what we do. We try to find something that's right up our alley. It's like, I'm really good at that. And so I'm hoping it's Wednesday night. You guys are, you're the home folk, right? Everybody, you're here. You're right on board. But just the importance of what we're doing, right? I was kind of just thinking about that today. It's great, we're going out, we're sharing the gospel with people, we're meeting people that we don't really know, we're trying to get the church's name out there any way that we can, we're doing all these things, right? And it's like, that's a really good thing. There's like face painters, and there's games, and then they're engraving people's names in the John and Romans for the kids, and I'm like, that's all really awesome. But none of that really matters if we don't share the gospel. And you're like, well, I understand, but we've got to meet people where they're at, and we have to really get them to understand who we are. And no, I don't want to offend anybody, but none of that matters if we don't preach the gospel. You know, and I don't know. I haven't looked at the sign-up sheet like I probably should have. Pat's in here, and he's going to be like, you know, you're supposed to know what you're doing. But if I had to guess, you could go down through the list, and there's a lot of people probably signed up to do games with the kids or help with this or help with that. But if I had to guess, there's probably not a whole lot of people that signed up to say, I want to be the person standing in the middle of the street telling people about Jesus. Why is that? Well, I don't want to do it. But it's good for me to do it. And it's times like this, because if it wasn't for times like this, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't make a time where I just went out and did it, right? And that's like when the London trip comes up and I'm like, I've got to do this, because if I don't do it now, I'm not going to do it somewhere else, right? If I don't do it now, you know, I only get so many opportunities with people at work or people here or people there, and it's good for me to get out and do it. So how many people are signed up just to do that? And so Here's some questions. There's some questions that I wrote down, and you can give me an answer, or you can't, or whatever, but this is kind of how I like to teach. But why, and I don't get me wrong, I know that I'm not in the Passpoint class, so I've got to be slightly more politically correct in here, if you want to call it that. But I don't want the church answer when I ask this question. I want you to be real with me. And we won't tell anybody. Brian's not here, so. But I want you to be real with me and tell me what you think about these things, because what I like to tell the people in Passpoint is, I know what you're thinking because I'm just like you, right? And a lot of the times I think I'm spot on when I'm like, I know what you're thinking, and then I tell them, and they're like, okay, so this is where we got to go with that. So here's my question: why do we share the gospel? Don't give me the church answer. Why do we actually get out and share the gospel? It's our job. Right? Dale?
Tell people about Jesus.
That's right.
Love of Christ should demonstrate.
It should, yes. Those are all right answers, right? Those are all right answers. Here's what I find in myself, sometimes, not all the time. I don't want you guys to leave here and be like, how in the world did he ever get... But sometimes I do it because I have to. Because I know that's what I'm supposed to do. And if I don't do it, then I'm not doing what Christ told me to do. So it's like, I'm doing it because I have to. It's not that I don't want to, but there's probably other things that I want to do more. So
when you tell people about Jesus, don't make you feel good.
It does. It's great when I do it. It's the getting there and starting to do it. It's the walking down the mile or however long you walk from the place you stay in London to the street. That it's just like, what in the world did I fly halfway around the world to do this for? And then you get there, and it's great. You talk to people, and it's like, they're like, hey, can I ask you a question? And they're like, no. And I'm like, awesome. You know, it feels great once you do it. But I think sometimes we have the wrong motivation. I have the wrong motivation, and I'm guessing that some of you are like me, and we may have the wrong motivation. The right answer is because Christ told us to, right? Why we share the gospel? Well, because we're supposed to. I know that answer. But I'm trying to get more past it, because the question, we know why we're supposed to, right? We want to be obedient. We got to be obedient. I know the right answer because we're supposed to, but then my question to you would be, why don't you? My question to me would, okay, yeah, you're supposed to. Why don't you? Why didn't you today? Why didn't you yesterday? Why didn't I last week? And I'm talking to myself just as much as you. I'm not getting all up on anybody's toes. But if we know we're supposed to, then why don't we? And I'm getting to something. I'm just trying to get your mind rolling a little bit as we get into this. So we got to be obedient, right? And it's Bible study. So if you got your Bibles, open your Bibles, and a couple of these verses are going to be like, yeah, I know that verse. Okay, well, we're just getting rolling, right? Matthew 28:19, right? Most of you guys could just quote this, but we're getting somewhere, right? Why do we share the gospel? We've got to be obedient. We've got to be obedient. And some of these verses, you're going to be like, well, I could have got up there and taught that. Well, that's good, but we're getting somewhere, right? There's a theme here that you've got to catch and you've got to instill in you. Not just because you have to, but because you want to. Not just because that's what I'm supposed to do, but because there's a need. Because there's things like what happened in Las Vegas, and there's people that may have heard the gospel, but they didn't hear it enough. Right? And that's why we have to. That's why we need to. Matthew 28:19. One of the last things that Christ says to his disciples. He spent 3.5 years telling these guys a whole lot of things. And I'm thinking that he probably mentioned this at some point, so he didn't really need to say it again, other than it must be really important. Right? Matthew 28:19, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." He doesn't say, just teach somebody, just teach your neighbors. Okay, you can preach this verse 100 different ways. I'm just getting the point of, you got to get out there and do it. I don't care if you go to London to do it, if you go to the Burnt District Festival to do it, if you go to your job, you go to your kids, wherever, you got to do it. And we can talk about doing it all day long. You got to do it. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost," right? We know the verse. We didn't need to turn there other than we need to turn there, right? That's what he told us to do. Why do we share the gospel? Well, because that's what God told us to do. That's the right answer. But is that really your motivation in it? Is that really why you're doing it? Well, it's because I have to. No, it's because I need to, right? I need to. Go to Mark, next chapter. Same story. Mark 16:15. Right? You guys could have wrote these notes. We're getting somewhere. Right? Mark 16:15. You gotta know why you're doing what you're doing. Randy gets up here, Brian gets up here, everybody gets up here. Bible hour, you know, pastor gets up there and they're like, "Hey, you need to sign up for the Burnt District Festival." Well, I've got other things to do. Well, so do I. Praise the Lord. But God's doing something. And you have to believe that God's doing something. You can't go in there thinking, well, this isn't going to work. Well, maybe it's not going to work, but I believe that God's doing something. I believe that God is not going to take me from the things that I could be doing. God's doing something. And we'll look at some of that later, but God's doing something. You have to believe that God is doing something. Mark 16:15, the same thing. One of the last things he says, just a different account. He says unto them, "Go into all the world." I think the square in Harrisonville is included in all the world, but I'm just saying. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." He doesn't say make good relationships with them and try to build a bridge. And he says, "Go and preach." I don't know where we throw in all of our good ideas and catches and all the, I don't know where we got all that. He says, "Go preach the gospel to every creature." Right? That's what he says to do. That's what we're supposed to do. Go to 1 Corinthians 9:16. You probably didn't guess this one. I like this verse a lot, right? 1 Corinthians 9:16. Why do we share the gospel? We have to be obedient. More than anything else, right? You got to be obedient to what you're told to do. More than anything else. You might say, well, this isn't going to work. It may not work. Does that matter? I've never found anywhere in the Bible where it says to me, "Hey, Jason, I need you to preach the gospel and you really need to make it stick this time." It doesn't say that. It doesn't say you need to really try to make them understand. No, it says you need to go and you need to preach. You know, you need to preach the gospel. You don't need to preach wherever they're at. I'm all about meeting people where they're at. But you know what you got to do when you do that? You got to preach the gospel. I said something in Pass Point the other day, and I didn't want anybody to freak out, and don't freak out when I say this. It was something along the lines of, the gospel isn't always the death, burial, and resurrection. Now, don't freak out when I say that, because sometimes that's what people think. Well, I can't just catch somebody on the street and be like, well, Jesus died, and he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. That's all true. That's not the gospel, but the gospel has to include the death, burial, and resurrection. You have to find out where these people are at. You have to meet them where they're at. People are going through things, right? You're not going to go and find somebody that's affected by that stuff in Las Vegas, and you're not going to go and just preach the death, burial, and resurrection. You got to meet them where they're at, but it has to include the death, burial, and resurrection, because if it doesn't, you didn't preach the gospel, right? It doesn't have to be so by the book, really robotic the way that we do it. You have to be able to be you and just love people and share the gospel with them, right? That's what you got to do. You know, we want to be obedient, but you know what else we need to share the gospel? I told you to flip there and I didn't. Let me get there. 1 Corinthians. Well, I think I may back up a little bit, so it's in here somewhere, I promise. Let's back up just, let me find where I want to start here. Let's start in verse 13, right? Paul's trying to explain to the Corinthian church why he shares the gospel and the way that he lives his life as he shares the gospel. This is kind of the what's going on here. 1 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 13, he says, "Do ye not know," so he's asking these people, "that they which minister about the holy things live of the things of the temple?" He's like, I can't go out here living like the world and preaching Jesus. That doesn't work. You gotta, if you're gonna talk the talk, you gotta walk the walk, isn't that what they say, or something along those lines, right? You gotta live it. That's what he's getting at. He says, "And they that which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar." Verse 14, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live the gospel." He's like, hey, if you're going to preach it, you need to live it. Because I don't need people out there preaching the gospel who aren't living it, because that's where we get the name that everybody wants to call us as Christians. We're hypocrites, right? Just ask the world, they'll tell you. But those are the same people that want to claim that they're Christian. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. You got to live it, right? Verse 15, he says, "But I have used none of these things." Paul's talking to these guys. He's like, neither have I written these things that it should be done so unto me, for it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void." He's like, well, hey, before we get any farther in this, you need to make sure that this isn't about me, right? Paul's like, this has nothing to do with me. When you're sharing the gospel with somebody, it has nothing to do with me. You can share your testimony, but it can't be about you. It can't be glorying you. It can't be this person got saved and look at me. No, it's all got to be focused on Christ. And that's what he's getting at here in verse 16, where I want to get to. He says, "For though I preach the gospel," because we all know that's what Paul did, right? Paul preached the gospel. "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of." Well, if anybody could boast about how much they shared the gospel, I'm pretty sure Paul could be the guy that could be like, well, you think you have to, Jason, but I did it, and I did it all the time, right? He says, no, I don't want any glory going to me, right? I don't want to boast about that. He says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity it is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." Paul's got this mindset that, you know what? It'd be really easy for me to be like, man, I shared the gospel with a lot of people. Whoop-de-doo. There's a lot of people who got saved because of me. Whoop-de-doo. Paul's like, no, before we get any farther, you need to realize that when I share the gospel with these people, when people's lives are changed, when people are pulled out of the fire, like it says in, I think Jude, you know, we're pulling them out of the fire, that's God's glory. God gave me the power to do it. God's the one who told me. And he's like, woe unto me if I don't. Now, when I signed up for the burnt district, was that my attitude? Was it my attitude that, man, woe unto me if I don't do this? Or was it, well, I need to get this done because I haven't done it in a while? Well, it was probably that. That needs to be our mindset. That has to be our mindset when it comes to evangelism, when it comes to sharing the gospel. And you're like, yeah, I know that's what I'm supposed to do, Jason. Well, I'm not saying, I'm just saying, this is what we are supposed to do. This is what we're called to do. This is what we have to do. Why in the heck aren't we doing it? Every day, all the time. Why aren't we doing it? He says, woe unto me. Paul's like, man, if I don't do this, something bad's going to happen, right? If I don't do this, something bad is going to happen. We got to bring glory to God. Why do we share the gospel? Well, because we got to tell people about Jesus. That's right. Because we got to share the love of Christ. That's right. Those are all the right answers. We got to do it to be obedient over anything else. You might be like, well, we need to get people saved. You're right. We need to share the gospel. There's a lot of times you ask people, why do you share the gospel? Well, we need to get people saved. No, we don't need to get people saved. We do not need to get people saved because we have nothing to do with it other than telling them about Christ. The person who shared Christ with me had nothing to do with me getting saved other than they were a messenger, right? And if we ever think that we're something more than simply a messenger, we thought more of ourselves than Christ. Christ is the only one who does anything. And you might be like, well, I went out there all weekend this weekend, Jason. I was there on Friday. I was there all day on Saturday. I shared the gospel with 300 people, and you know what they all did? They all walked by. They laughed. I got a whole list of stories of what people had to say and excuses. And you know what you ought to take away from that? Praise the Lord, I was obedient. It shouldn't be, man, and you can be grieved for those people, but it's you had nothing to do with whether they said yes or no. You had nothing to do with it, but you were obedient. Man, I don't want to stand before Christ, whether it's tomorrow or however many years from now, and be like, well, I did it sometimes. And I want to know that I was obedient. That's what we have to be known for. We've got to be obedient. And we have to do it to bring glory to God, right? So, okay, that's why we share the gospel, right? We all know why. We know why. We need to. We have to. We need to. No, we're obedient, and we want to bring glory to God. So here's my next question. Why don't we? Because we can all come up with all the right church answers, but why don't we? And we've all got a whole list of excuses. Well, okay, reasons. I won't call them excuses. Why don't we? Why don't I, as soon as I walk into work and a new guy starts or anything else, why don't we? And there's a lot of good reasons, and we'll go through some of them, but give me something. Why don't we? We'll get fired? Well, I hope that's not the case, but okay. That might be at a job, but why don't you anywhere else? Why don't we? Why don't we all rush to sign up? Because I have a feeling that if you were to ask Pat, who's in here, he's probably going to tell you that there's still some openings for people to show up this weekend. I'm just guessing. So why don't we? That's a really good one. That's a fear of rejection. Yeah. Go ahead.
But it says, if I do this thing willing, and if you ignore the word willing, right, you know, it's got to be, I have a reward. And really, you know, and it works.
That's right.
Well, you know, you can't do anything. But you will have a reward.
Yeah. You and me both. That's right. We need a little incentive, right? That's the way we are. Right. We need to be obedient. And Christ is like, when you're obedient, it's just like with my kids. When you do the things I ask you to do, you know, there are rewards, right? When you don't do things you're supposed to do, there's also rewards. They call them consequences. I call them rewards, but it doesn't really matter what you call them when it's a result of your action, right? That's what we get. So here's some of the, I kind of knew, I was just guessing that you would give me some of the answers you did when I say, why don't we share the gospel, right? So here's one. We're scared. We're afraid of rejection, right? That's one of the biggest ones. We don't want people to be like, well, I don't want to talk about that, or that's none of your business, or, you know, I could give you a list of a whole lot of things that you'll hear from people in London. They're really bold in what they have to say. But I'm not trying to be like, this is just what you need to think. But if that is our reasoning, well, I know I need to do this, but I'm just scared. I just don't know what to do. Turn to Acts 9:29. I'll give you a few examples of guys that probably, if I was guessing, since this is the book of Acts, and if you know anything about the book of Acts, there's a lot of things changing, but there were a lot of people at this time in the world that weren't really cool with people sharing the gospel. They weren't all about that at all. I don't know if you know a guy named Stephen, right? And people like that. But they didn't really want to hear it. But you know what? They did it anyway. Now, I'm guessing that if you go out here this weekend, even if you are or are not signed up, and you share the gospel with some people, you probably won't get stoned. You probably won't get screamed at, even. Believe it or not. You may get rejected. Praise the Lord. If that's the worst I'm going to get, then I'm going to do this all the time. Right? These guys really had something to worry about. We're going through the book of James and Passover. We're actually just finishing up. Those guys had something to worry about in that time. We got nothing here where we live right now. I mean, really? Acts 9, verse 29. Right? This is, we're talking about Saul right here, right? He says, and he spake, and here's the word I want to key on. And he spake boldly. What does that sound like? When somebody's sharing the gospel and they speak boldly, right? They act like they know what they're talking about, right? I heard, and I've even said this before, if you say anything with enough authority, people will believe you, right? If you say anything with enough authority, people will believe you, right? You need to speak the gospel boldly. I can't get up here and talk to you guys like I am. I like to think that I'm fairly bold, right? And then I'm a lot like Peter, and I have like this foot and mouth thing where I say things I shouldn't, and it is what it is, right? So, but I can't come in here and share the gospel and tell you guys what to do and then go and at work or when I meet people on the street this week and be like, hey, do you have a second? I have a question. If you have time, well, who is Jesus? Oh, I'm sorry. If you got to go, you got to go. No, be bold. What's the worst they're going to do? Walk away? They were walking away to start with. I mean, really? And I'm not saying that meeting people on the street is the best way to get them the gospel, but that's the way that Christ has asked us to do it this weekend, right? Maybe if doing it, witnessing to your coworkers or your family, well, maybe you should have done that already. But I'm just saying for what we're talking about, meeting people where they're at, this might be the last time they get to hear it. Be bold, right? It says in verse 29, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. I don't think you're going to get that this weekend. I don't even think you'll get that at work, right? And I work with some pretty worldly dudes. I don't think they're going to get that away. I just don't. They might not want to hear it. Okay. I just need to get this off my chest. Because you know what? In the end, if you stand before Christ at the great white throne, I don't want to I don't want that to be on me that I didn't share it with you. So here's what it is. Take it or leave it. But it changed my life. Right? It changed my life. Be real with them, right? Acts 14:3, a couple pages over. You can find this a lot of places. But, you know, we're scared and we're afraid of rejection and we don't know what to do and we don't. And you might be like, I don't know how to be bold. Well, you just got to know it. And you just got to be bold in what you say, right? If you can't be bold about the gospel, the thing that sets you free, that took you out of bondage and gave you eternal life, then what are you going to be bold about? If you can't be bold about that, man, I don't know. If that's not enough to get you fired up, I don't know. Acts 14:3. Sorry, I probably didn't tell you that. Acts 14:3. It says, a long time, therefore. I kind of like the English in the King James right here. Long time. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. Right? He didn't just throw it at them one time. No, he was there for a while, and he didn't say that he just kind of, hey, this is the gospel, what do you think of it? It says they spake boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word by his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Right? They were bold. And you're like, I don't know how to be bold. I don't. Well, we're going to get there because you know how you'd be bold? That's probably not the right. You know how you should be bold or how you could be bold is to know what you're talking about. It's really hard to be bold about something that you don't have any clue what you're talking about, right? Some people can. Some people can just spout off about anything. And I shouldn't say that. I've got a 13-year-old son that seems like he can tell you about anything in the world, right? And he's just at that age where he just knows a lot of stuff, right? And so, You want to know how to be bold? You know what you're talking about. You might be like, well, I don't. Well, we're getting there, okay? We're getting there because we're getting there, all right? But that's how you're bold. You know what you're talking about. You know how to explain what you're saying, right? Somebody could ask me about the things that I do at work, and I could be bold about telling you about it because I've been there forever, it seems like 10 years. You know, when you do something for 10 years every day, I know what I'm talking about a little bit sometimes. Right? It's the same thing with Christ. You walk into this building for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, you should be able to be bold in what you're talking about. If you are or not, I don't know. I'm not saying. I'm just saying you should be able to be bold. And if nothing else, I want you to walk out of here tonight and be able to be bold about the gospel. We're getting there. Acts 18:26. And these are just a couple of them that I pulled out real quick, because if you're like, man, I know I need to share the gospel. I know I need to be obedient. This is what I got to do. But I can't make myself do it. Can I explain to you that when I get there on Friday and I get with Pat and I help set up or whatever we're going to do, I don't know, and we get out there and people start filling the streets and I'm going to be standing out in the middle of the road and I'm going to be like, gosh, my stomach's in knots and I don't like doing this because it's just the way that I am. You might, the way most of you know me is I get up and I preach the Bible and I'm a very bold person. That's not me, really. I'm an introverted person. I don't like talking to people. I would rather just do things myself. That's just who I am, right? So this is completely odd to me other than the Spirit of God, right? So I'm going to get out there and I'm going to be like, gosh, I don't want to do this. But I have to be bold. You have to be bold with your message. It's hard to share the gospel with somebody when you're trying to sell it like whatever the people on the street are trying to sell you. You got to be bold about it, right? Well, I really couldn't care less or not if you buy satellite TV from me. Well, no, I want you to buy this gospel thing because it changed my life. It took me from here, and now I'm headed here. And holy smokes, I want you to come with me. Be bold about that, right? Acts 18:26. This is Apollos, right? He says, and he began to speak. It doesn't say, well, he was just kind of timid, right? At least not in my Bible. It says, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. He wasn't just like, hey, you guys should listen to this, or hey, if you got a minute. No, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly, right? You got to be bold about sharing the gospel. And you might be like, that's just not my style, dude. It's not my style either. But you got to, right? Just like you have to be obedient and get out there and do it, if you're going to be out there and doing it, be bold about it. And I'm not saying be rude. Don't consider the word bold rude. There's a complete difference. I don't want you to get out there and be like, you repent or die or whatever. You know, and be bold about the gospel. But you got to understand people are going through some things, right? There's a lot of things going on in people's lives. And if you're rude about it, you're going to turn them off. Be bold about what you believe because Christ saved your soul and you want him to do the same thing for them. Right? Be bold about it. And when I say be bold, I mean know what you're talking about. Be bold. Right? Okay, so we're scared. Okay, well, we kind of nixed that. You can't be scared. You can be. I probably will be. And we always will be, because I think if I ever get to the point where I can walk out on the street and be like, I got this, then I need to check myself because I don't got this. Christ has got this, and I need to always be relying on him. I feel the same way about teaching the Bible. If I ever come up and I'm like, I can just do this. Holy smokes. I'm sorry, because something bad's going to happen. Right? I can't do this. Christ does this. And we have to know that. Day in and day out, the I got this attitude, that's bad. We can't have that because Christ has got this. And all we do is like, you know, you see the bumper sticker, Jesus is my co-pilot. I'm sorry, because if you're not like in the back seat while Jesus is driving, then you're headed for bad news, right? Be bold and just let Christ do the, just let Christ work through you. Man, there's nothing like after having a conversation with somebody who doesn't receive the gospel, but you like got to share it. We'll be in London, and you'll actually get the whole entire gospel out, which doesn't happen very often because people don't want to stop and listen. You get the whole gospel out, and you're like, you feel on top of the world because it's like, I did it. I did exactly what I was told to do. I found somebody, and I shared the gospel with them, and they heard it. And now they can't stand before Christ and be like, I've never heard that before. That's up to them now, right? Get out there and be bold. Be bold, right? Okay, so you can't be scared. All right, so here's another one, right? Well, I would rather just, if I'm going to share the gospel, I would rather just talk to people who are like me, right? Just, I want to meet people that are like me. And then other people can meet people that are like them, and then it'll just work out well. No, that's dumb. You know, find, and when I say that, I don't mean you stand on the street and there's people walking. You can usually judge, this is a good person to talk to, this isn't a good person to talk to. And I don't mean that person is way too lost for Christ to save them. That's not what I'm getting at. You can just usually tell by the countenance of a person, if they have zero eye contact when they see that your shirt says something about Jesus on it, I'm like, okay, I'm going to find somebody that at least wants to hear me, or I think wants to hear me anyway, right? That's the way it works. So you can't have the attitude of, I just want to talk to people that are like me, right? I'll find some people that are, you know, middle-aged, have kids, and I can, you know, get to know them, and then maybe I'll share the gospel with them, and then the next thing you know, you spent 6 months trying to get to know these people, and then as soon as you finally get a little bit of boldness to be like, hey, can I ask you a question about Jesus? And they're like, no. Well, that was 6 months wasted. You should have just been bold in the first place. You would have known right up front. Hey, they don't want to hear it. Well, here it is, and go about your way. I was obedient. Now you have no answer before Christ. I'll pray for you. All you can do is be obedient, right? If that's the mindset we've got, what about in John chapter, I think it's 4, right? Woman at the well. If I remember right, the Jews, they weren't really kosher with the Samaritans, right? Like, not at all. Nothing at all. And who's Jesus talking to through this whole thing? And I was going to go and read it, but we really don't have time, so you can go back and listen, just read the story. Even the disciples were like, they go to town to get some food because, you know, they're like me, they're hungry all the time. And so they come back, and Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman, and they're like, what's he doing? And then she finally leaves, and they're like, what are you talking to her for? And he kind of completely lays it out, and he's like, hey, you guys, you don't completely understand what's going on here, because I didn't just come for the Jews here, right? I've got something bigger planned. I've got something bigger planned. And if I only shoot for a certain demographic of people who I think are the perfect people to share the gospel with, then the biker dude or whoever else that I would feel intimidated by, what about him? What about them? Be bold and share the gospel with whoever the Spirit of God leads you to share it with. It doesn't matter who it is. They're completely different than me. Praise the Lord. That's the best people, right? That's the best people. That's the people you got to share it with. What about Peter in Acts, right? What's the guy's name? Cornelius, I think, right? And this kind of proves my point from before, that you got to believe that God's going to do something. You might be like, okay, fine, Jason, I get your point with the evangelism thing. I'll go. It's not going to work. Nobody gets saved on the street. Well, maybe they don't, but they hear the gospel on the street. But you might be like, well, it's never going to work, but I'll go. I believe, and I really believe, it's not just saying this, I believe that we'll go out there and we will share the gospel with some people that needed to hear it. Maybe didn't want to hear it. Maybe weren't like, yeah, that's what I need to do right now, but they needed to hear it. There was something going on in their life. I believe that God is working right now in the lives of people that will have them there, that will actually stir up in me to not let them walk by. I believe that God does those things. Yeah, the divine appointment. I believe God does those things. And there's if you read through the story in what chapter is that? It's I can at least give you the chapter so you can go home and read it in your homework. Yes, sir. It's Acts chapter 10. Yeah, I was going to say it's after. Yeah. So, okay. Cornelius is just chilling one day, and the Spirit of God comes to him, which is, you know, it happens all the time to people who aren't saved, right? Well, no, it doesn't, right? And so the Spirit of God just shows up one day, and he's like, hey, you need to go talk to this guy, Peter. I know you've never met him, and you don't really know who he is, but send some of your people after him. And he's like, what? And then they leave, and he's like, I think that was the Spirit of God, right? And so, my point here is God is working. So what's Cornelius do? I'm giving you like the Jason version of the story. I'm sorry. So he's like, he sends, you know, a couple of his people and a soldier, because he's really, I guess he needs to protect his servants, because I don't know why he sends two servants and a soldier, but he does. So anyway, he sends them, and they go, and they're on their way, and they're like, this guy doesn't even know we're coming. He's going to think we're freak shows, right? You know, and then at the same time, the Spirit of God comes on Peter, which, that isn't so odd because, you know, Peter followed Christ for 3.5 years and then now he's like the leader of the church. But, and so Peter's chilling out and he's like, hey, there's some guys that are going to come and meet you and they want you to go and talk to this guy. And Peter's like, what? And then what do you know? Here's the knock on the door. What I'm saying is God works in ways that before we even talk to people, God's telling you, hey, maybe you need to get off the couch on Friday night and just go and do it. And if nothing else, just watch and see what happens. You're like, fine, I'll go. Well, at the same time, God's working in somebody's life who's got family trouble or whose parent just died or whatever happened and there's something going on in their life. And you know what they need to hear? Is the gospel. And you're just going to happen to meet up. You're just going to happen to hear it. Right? And so Peter goes and he talks to them and then and he starts to go and then he's like, oh, hang on a minute. This guy's not Jewish. And that's not really kosher. And they're trying to, that's why it's in the book of Acts, transitions, lots going on. You can get into that and study that thing out. But so there's a lot of things that God works out. And what I'm trying to show you here is that Peter wasn't nothing like Cornelius. They weren't the same. And Peter had all the excuses in the world to be like, I shouldn't do this. I've even got like rules written in a book that say I can't do this. But you know what? God's bigger than rules in a book. You know, and so Peter's finally like, okay, fine. And I try some bacon at the same time. So, you know, anytime you get to eat some bacon, it's a good deal, right? No. So he goes and it all turns out good. But the point is, just because somebody's different than you and you're like, I can't witness to that person, or that person's never going to receive Christ or whatever, you know, don't ever think that that person won't receive Christ, right? We've all got that story of somebody, you know, when you receive Christ, whether you got saved when you were 6 or whatever, I was like 22, 23, somewhere in there, 21, I don't even remember how old I was. I was old enough to be doing things that I shouldn't be doing and know that I shouldn't be doing them. Anyway, so I get saved, and we've all got that person in our mind. We get saved, and we're like, man, this is really awesome. God just pulled me straight up out of the fire because I was headed in a way that I shouldn't be headed, right? And I'm all on cloud 9, and I'm on fire, and I'm wanting to tell people about Christ, and I'm like, you need to get this. But we've all got that one person, and we're like, man, I could tell that person 100 times, and they're never going to hear it, right? We've all got that person. And I'll just tell you, that person for me was my brother. And some of you guys know who my brother is. He's the guy who just took off to plant the church in Clinton. The guy that I swore, when I got saved, I'm like, dude, this is, God, you totally saved me. I wish you could do this for my brother because, man, he'd never hear it. He'll never, ever hear it. He'll never get saved. And you know what happened? I shared the gospel with him, and he didn't want to hear it. Can you believe it? He didn't want to hear it. Within like a month or two, he was saved. It was God's way of saying to me, hey, don't ever doubt what I can do when you're just obedient. Right? Don't ever doubt what you can do. And I'm sure you've all got stories, and you might be like, well, my story doesn't work that way because my family's still lost. I still have some family members that are lost too. You know, all you can do is tell them. But what I'm saying is there's nobody that's too lost for God. There's nobody that's too far out there. Because if that was the case, then I was. I was too far out there. But there's nobody like that. So that can't be your excuse. When I say, hey, let's go witness to people on the street, and you're like, well, I'm not scared, but I just don't want to talk to people that aren't like me. Well, that's not a very good reason either, okay? So I'm just like going down the list trying to cut out your excuses. That way when I show you how to share the gospel, you got nothing to do other than do it, right? What's another one? It's just really uncomfortable. It's just really, I'm not scared to do it, but it's just really uncomfortable for me to share the gospel, right? It doesn't feel right. It doesn't ever come off my lips right. Maybe you should do it for me, and I'll just go stand with you. No, that's not, I can't do it either. And if that's your, the only thing I can point to, and if you're just like, it's uncomfortable and I don't like it, go back to point one. You got to be obedient. If nothing else, you got to be obedient. And just do it, because that's what God told you to do. And I don't want to be the guy, I don't want to be that guy who God told me to do something and I was like, yeah, I just don't really want to. Sorry. I don't want to be that guy, right? So if you're just like uncomfortable, just be obedient. Okay? All right, and so here's the last one. Because and so those three, I can go down through there and I can be like, those are really, I don't want to be rude when I say this, but those are really lousy excuses. And that's what they are, is their excuses. They're not reasons, they're excuses. Because those are all things that through the Word of God you can you can overcome those things. Through Christ, you can just do it. You can be bold and you can go and do it, right? And so I was thinking to myself, because this is how I process things. I just, I'm not an outward type of person. I just process things. I'm like, so why don't we? We know we need to. We know we're supposed to be obedient. I know I'm supposed to be obedient. I know I've went and I've done it, and I feel on cloud nine when I do it, and then 2 weeks later, I don't do it. I'm like, why don't I? So I'm asking myself, here's the reasons. You know, here's the reasons we've got. And here's the only one that I can come up with that might have a little bit of legitimacy. And here's one that I want when you walk out of here that can't be legitimate anymore. I just don't know how. I just don't know how. I mean, I know that Jesus died and, you know, he saved me and, you know, I believe he was buried and he resurrected on the third day and he came back. And I believe those things, but I really don't know how to sit down with a person, to catch a person on the street, to whatever, and share that. I don't know how to get that to them. I don't know how to do that. And because I don't know how, and I just have never really learned, I've been in the church for a long time or I've been in the church for 2 weeks, I don't know where you're at, I just don't really know how. I went a long time, the only way I could share the gospel was my testimony, because I never learned how to just find them. I mean, I would read the Bible. I knew that Jesus was, like, awesome, and I'm like, but that's hard to share the gospel with somebody. We're like, Jesus is awesome. It doesn't work like that. And it took me, and I was like, wait a minute, why don't I just actually study this out? Why don't I just actually write it in my Bible? Why don't I just actually learn how, right? And then I don't have that excuse anymore, right? If Brian's up here and he's giving an altar call on Sunday morning and 30 people raise their hands, there's not enough altar workers standing here to talk to 30 people. And don't be like, well, that'll never happen, because it could happen. I'm just saying. What would you do if the person next to you was like, the salvation thing sounds really good because my life's a mess. What do I do? And you're like, Brian, this guy's got his hand up. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you catch somebody on the street and you're like, hey, who's Jesus to you? And you're like, I don't know. I'm really broken and I got this messed up stuff in my life. And I don't know. What is Jesus? And you're like, well, you were supposed to say no and walk away. Now, what are you going to do? Because it happens. People do want to hear it. Believe it or not, newsflash, people do want to hear it. Not all people, but some people do. So, okay, if that's your reasoning, I don't know how, because that was me. I want to show you three different ways. Maybe just two, because I'm really comfortable with two, and I'll throw a third one at you if we have time. But at least two different ways that you can share the gospel with somebody, and at least make it clear. I don't know how you are, if you're writing your Bible all the time, or you might be like I was for the longest time, and I'm like, why would I write in my Bible? It's the Bible. It's got everything it needs in it already. I suggest you write these, at least write like your little roadmap in your Bible. I don't care if you put it in the back, you put it in the front, however you do it, you know, and you might be like, well, I don't have my Bible everywhere. I used to have a really big, heavy church Bible. That's what I called it, my church Bible, because you got to have a church Bible and a real Bible, right? That was dumb, right? No, I had this big Bible, and I was like, I didn't ever have it when I needed it. So I've got this little thing right now, and the cover's falling off of it and everything else, and I use this. You use whatever you want. But so here's the first way, and you guys have probably all heard this, and some of you guys are like, I already know this, so don't check out. Just roll with me. The Romans Road. You guys know the Romans Road, right? Or at least you heard of it. I'm going to say you know the Romans Road, right? Okay, listen to me. Show me. Wait a minute. Okay. We're going to go through it. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. We're just going to go through it. Write it in your Bible, right? And we're just going to kind of go through how I would if somebody was just like, hey, show me what this means, right? So the Romans Road, this is something I might use if I was doing altar on a Sunday and somebody was like, so the gospel's pretty much already been preached and they know that they need something. They're like, I need something. I might use the Romans Road, right? This is not what I'm going to use when I'm out on the street. That's just me. Maybe you do. But so this is what I would do. So the Romans Road, you gotta at least know who you're talking to, right? So the first thing, the only verse you gotta remember, if you're like me, the only verse you gotta remember is the first one, because after that I've got them all written and it's like a map. Go here next. That way, when I'm in the moment and I'm all freaking out, my Bible says where to go next, and the Bible will do the rest. Romans 3:23. Go to Romans 3:23. That's the only verse you got to remember. If you're going to share the Roman road with somebody, go to the Romans 3:23. So if somebody was to come to me and they were like, I know I need something, you know, and my life's a mess, my wife left me, everything's falling apart, you know, I don't know, everything I do is just crumbling. What I've got this hole in my life, you know, you hear that all the time. What do you do? Well, the first thing you have to make somebody understand is you've got a problem. And you don't have to say it like that, but there's an issue here, right? Because God's perfect. God is holy and God is perfect. And you have to understand where you're at. And if I have time, maybe I'll take him back to Genesis and I'll be like, hey, this is why you're not perfect. It's not your fault. You're born that way, right? It has nothing to do with you. Maybe you're a really good person, but it's not your fault you were born this way. So even if you did really good after you were born, I'm sorry. So Romans 3:23, the first thing that you have to show someone is, it says, for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. And you might be like, I've heard all these verses. Well, you're going to hear them again. Okay? The first thing you got to make somebody understand is show them is that they're not unique in the fact that they're doing things they shouldn't. You're not unique in the fact that you have problems. You're not unique in the fact that your life is falling apart. And there's a reason. Because everybody is a sinner. Everybody. You might be like, I'm a really good person, though. I'm okay. You know, and that's really easy to crack, you know. Okay, you've probably never, ever just lied a little bit, have you? Right? And usually at this point, people are they're ready to be real with you. If they want to hear the gospel, they're ready to be real with you. Right? The first thing you have to make somebody understand is, for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. Because God's glory is up here and he's perfect. Right? He's God. And we're somewhere down here. And as much as we want to try, we can't do good things to get there. So here's the problem. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. Well, you can't leave them there because that's a really downer kind of verse. Right? There you go. See ya. Work that one out. No. For all of sin, you have to understand. You've got this problem, but I had that problem. And I still have that problem. So, but here's the deal. There's good news, right? There's good news. Go to Romans chapter 5, right? So from there, I write in my Bible, go to Romans 5:8. It's right there in the margin. I have these little tiny margins, but I have it written in there. 5:8's next. That's what I have in there. So I know where to go after that. I'm explaining this to people. I'm like, okay, here's what you gotta hear next, right? And actually, I kind of hit 12 and then go to 8, but either way, they're right there together. So they're right there together. So first, Romans 5:12. So everybody sinned, right? And it happens. I get it. You know, you're doing things you shouldn't do. I get it. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so the death passed upon all men that all have sinned. You're not like that because you're a bad person, right? You don't sin because, how's that go? You're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. Right? I think I got that right. Right? You don't sin because you're not a sinner because you did bad things, right? Because even if you didn't do bad things, you're already a sinner to start with, right? You're a sinner, or you sin because you're a sinner. That's why you do the bad things, because you were like that to start with. So it's like, wow, that's still really bad news, Jason. Get to something good, right? Well, I'm just trying to show you where you're at, right? You have to really understand where you're at before you can get to where you're going, right? You have to understand that there's a problem. And you're the problem. You have to understand that, right? And I just want you to understand how to clearly show somebody the gospel. The same thing that changed your life. This is what you had to understand at some point. Maybe it wasn't put so plainly, but this is what you had to come to the realization of. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then, so there's a good news starts to it's like, wait a minute. That's not all bad news there. I don't completely understand it, but that's not completely all bad news. But it says, because it still says I'm a sinner, right? He says, while we were yet sinners, so I'm still a bad person. But he says something about Christ died for me. What does that mean, right? What I'm trying to show you here is that Christ made a way. You're like, what way? These people are looking at you like, you know, a monkey doing a math problem, right? Like, what are you talking about? I'm trying to show you that there is a problem, and it's sin. and it's in you. But Christ did something about it, right? Christ did something about it. Christ did something. From there, right in my Bible, I've got it written. 6:23, that's the next place I'm going. I'm going to Romans 6:23. It's all right here in the same book. Romans 6:23. So I've explained to them, there's a problem and it's sin, and it's in you. But Christ has done something about it. And you still haven't completely just explained what he's done about it, right? But he's done something about it. 6:23. You say, so at this point, they've come to the realization, okay, there is a problem. But there may be good news, right? And they're like on the edge of their seat, or they should be. If they're really hearing it, they're like, okay, I want to hear this. Well, here's where you really lay in. You lay the reality to them. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin, so this is, there's got to be a penalty, right? You've admitted that there's a problem, so what are you going to pay for it? It's death. It's like, whoa, this just got real, right? It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's like, wait a minute. What is that? Because you just said something about death, and I'm not right with God, and there's a problem. What's this gift of God that you're talking about? Right? Because I've got a problem, and it's sin, and what's the gift of God? Tell me what it is. I need to hear it right now. You know, because something might happen, and I need to hear the rest of this, right? This is how the gospel works. It has to build on itself. It can't be, hey, do you want to hear this? Jesus died for you. Have a good day. Well, that's true, but you got to explain this thing a little bit. When you get a chance to explain this a little bit, you might be like, I don't have that much time. There's different ways of sharing it. This is just one of them, right? When you get a chance to really sit down with somebody, you need to make it clear. From there, right? So they realize, okay, the wages of sin is death. I'm in trouble. But the gift of God, okay? 11:6. Romans 11:6. You have to understand something about this gift, though. Because in my mind, it'd be like, okay, so what do I got to do? Because that's how I am. I'm like, okay, what do I need to do? Do I need to build something? Do I need to do something? You know, I'm all about what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? This verse and the next one, they really show you that, wait a minute, it has nothing to do with you, Jason. These verses are people like me who think, okay, what do I got to do? What do I got to do? You have to understand that you can't do anything. Romans 11:6 says, and if by grace, he's talking about this gift, this gospel, if by grace, then it is no more of works. Well, what do you mean? I can't. What do I got to do about it then? What do I got to do? It says, otherwise, grace is no more. But if it be works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So it's a really confusing way of saying, hey, there's nothing you can do. And I'm like, well, wait, this is really like a roller coaster ride, and it's making my stomach hurt, right? Because there's bad news, and there's good news, and there's bad news. So, holy smokes, where am I at? Right? What are you getting at here? What are you getting at? From there, I go to back to chapter 4 and verse 5, right? From there, I go back to chapter 4 and verse 5. And because I can't remember these in order, that's just me. My mind doesn't work that way, so I have them written in my Bible. It says in verse 5, chapter 4, verse 5, but unto him that worketh not, so we just talked about, there's nothing you can do about it. So you left these guys with, the last verse left them with, well, if I can't do anything, what needs to be done then? If I can't do it, who's got to do it? Somebody got to, like, pay penance or sorry? No, wait a minute. That's not what we're getting. If I can't do it, what are we doing? This is what it's talking about. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth ungodly, his faith is counted for him righteousness. And it's just like the reality starts to set in. There's nothing I have to do. All I have to do is believe. That's too easy. That's what we like to think, right? That's too easy. It is pretty easy. You know, and this isn't Romans. I would, just because I like this verse a lot, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. You could throw that in there if you wanted to. Right there about, you know, it's nothing about works. It's you're saved by grace, not by works. That just adds to it. You don't have to put it in there if you don't want to. If you like to stay in the book of Romans, it's right there. It just adds to this, right? So basically it just said, so okay, you've got a sin problem. What am I going to do about it? Well, there's nothing you can do about it. But there might be a way out. Really? Well, what's that? Okay, well, you just got to believe. Well, that seems too easy. That seems too easy. Well, what do you got to believe? You can't skip past this without telling them what they have to believe. Don't forget that part. Well, all you got to do is believe. Believe what? Well, Jesus is the man. Well, I believe that. Well, Jesus is the man, but what do I got to believe? You got to believe that Jesus actually did come to earth. And I don't know if you got room to write this in there, but you got to know this, right? If you're going to be bold in what you say, you got to know this part. You got to believe that Jesus came to earth and he really was real, just like you are. It was a long time ago, but he was just as real as you are. He came to earth, and he, unlike every other person, didn't sin. He was perfect. He was the only one, right? All those things we talked about how maybe you did lie a little bit once, or maybe you did steal something once, or maybe you did think about something you shouldn't have once. Jesus didn't do those things. He did come to earth, and you know what he did? This is what you got to believe. You got to believe that he took his perfect life, and he said, you know what? 2,000 years from now, there's going to be this knothead named Jason. And he's not going to quite get it. And I understand that he's going to do some things he shouldn't. And when he does that, he's going to be separated from God forever. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lay my perfect life down to take place for his. And he was crucified. And he died. Just like we will. But here's the good news. He was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. He proved that he was God. He took my place. He took your place. That's what you have to believe. You have to believe that that really happened. If you don't believe that that really happened, you didn't really get saved. Because what did you believe then? You have to believe that happened. That's what the believe is. Okay? You have to understand that part of it. You can know the verses. You can have them written in your Bible. If you don't know that part, you don't know the gospel. You have to believe that's what Christ did. That's what it is. Okay, so from there, you got to wrap it up. Go to chapter 10. You got to wrap this thing up because you just showed them that Christ did something for you that all you have to do is believe. And they're like, okay, well, I believe it. Okay, so here's the only thing that's left. Here's the only thing that's left. Chapter 10 and verse 9. He says, so you believe this, right? Yeah, I believe it. My life's a mess. I believe that. That's awesome. I didn't even know that, but Jesus did that for me. Yeah, he did do that for you. Verse 9, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, that's all I got to do. Yeah, you just confess it, right? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made in salvation, right? It says in verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same is the Lord over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord is to be saved. That's all I got to do. All I got to do is believe that and just pray it, right? I got to decide that I'm going the wrong way and I need to go the other way. And when that's repentance. You know, I decide, hey, I'm going the wrong way. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to turn from my sins. That's what repentance is. You know, and repentance is a natural act that happens when you get saved. It's not that you have to do it. It happens. When you get saved, when you confess with your mouth that, yes, I want this. Take it. Take all of it. I remember praying, sitting in my truck at a stop sign when I got saved. Christ, if you want it, you can have it all, but you're getting all of it. My life is a mess. Take it all. Just take it. Just crying out to God, right? The only way I knew how, that was my confession. That's how salvation happens. That's the gospel. You might be like, I don't know how to do it, Jason. That's how. And you're like, well, I don't have 20 minutes like it just took you. Well, praise the Lord. Modify it. But get those points in there, right? And that, and like I said, that's the direction I would go if somebody was like, I just really need the gospel. I have time to sit down with you and show me, right? That's the direction I would go because I got time. And I really want you to understand it. Okay, so that's the first way. I have it written in my Bible. Here's the second way. This is the way that I'm most comfortable this way. Because I can kind of improv, and that's how I roll. That's why I like it, and so it's going to be hard to write this down in your Bible. But this is how, when I go to the Burnt District thing on Friday, this is what I'm going to do. When we go to London, we wear shirts. Then they say, no religion, just Jesus on them. I want people to know before they ever hear anything out of my mouth what I'm about. You don't have to wear a shirt. It doesn't matter. That's just usually the way I go. Big, bold letters. No religion, just Jesus. Because you know what? Religion is a bunch of junk. It's a bunch of rules that man made to try to get people closer to God, and it doesn't get you anywhere. It's that holiness is here, I'm here, I'm going to try to bring them together. That's what religion is. It doesn't work, right? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to find somebody. I'm going to be watching people. Some people are going to make eye contact, you know. And so here's the way that I like to share the gospel. I say, hey, can I ask you a question? You can do this with people you work with. You don't have to be walking down the street. You don't have to, hey, can I ask you a question? And by doing this, you're getting permission from them, right? They might be like, no, okay, have a good day, right? In London, cheers, mate, whatever. You know, whatever it is, right? Can I ask you a question? You're asking permission. They are giving you permission. They don't know what they're giving you permission for, but I asked. Can I ask you a question? A lot of times, yeah. In London, yeah, go on, or whatever. Yeah, yes, what is it? Some of them might think you're actually serious, like you need to know where you're going or something, but little do they know. Can I ask you a question? Here's the question that we ask them. I didn't come up with this, so don't think I'm a genius. Brian Clark is a genius. But so, can I ask you a question? Yeah. Who is Jesus Christ to you? And let me tell you, the variety of answers that you can get to that question are endless. I've heard some really good ones. I mean, you just, whatever it is. And sometimes people will be like, well, he's my Savior. He's the Son of God. And it's like, yeah, that's the right answer. Doesn't happen very often. Anything. Oh, it's he's a religious guy. Oh, he's a fable. It's somebody in a book. You can hear anything. Okay, so because of time's sake and we're running out, you can hear anything. And just expect, when you ask this question of your coworkers, who is Jesus Christ to you? You're going to hear anything. And be prepared for the craziest thing you've ever heard. He's a fable. He's an alien. I've heard it all, right? So here's how I go about that. Who's Jesus Christ to you? He's just some dude in a book or whatever. And so here's my response. That's interesting. I'm not like, no, that's wrong. That doesn't work. That doesn't, I'm wrong kind of bold. I'm like, that's interesting. And before they take off, that's interesting. Do you mind? So I'm asking again. I've already asked them, can I ask you a question? Yeah. Well, sometimes after that, you're like, well, do you mind? Like, you already asked me something. They walk off. Well, praise the Lord. Right? You say, okay, who's Jesus Christ to you? Well, he's some dude in a book, or he's crazy, or I don't know. Right? That's interesting. Do you mind if I show you what the Bible, what Jesus says about himself in the Bible, or what the Bible says, or something like, do you mind if I show you that? And at that point, they're really impatient. Let me just tell you, especially if you're meeting them on the street. Now, if you're talking to a coworker or something, you're sitting at lunch or whatever, you know, at that point, I've got you. You're sitting down, right? Whatever. But you mind if I show you what the Bible says? At this point, you usually, they're like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, go ahead. And they're very impatient. I understand. But I'm being obedient, right? Because at this point, I'm like, I can already tell they don't want to hear it. So can I just be like, yeah, I did it, God? No. I'm not obedient until I share the gospel, right? So, okay. Do you mind if I show you what the Bible says? Yeah, okay. I take them to John 14:6. One verse. Because I don't have time to go to all those different verses that we just did, right? And if I have time, that's what I'm going to do. But if I don't have time, this is the verse that I use. John 14:6. I'm like, do you mind if I show you what the Bible has to say? Or what Jesus has to say about himself in the Bible? Yeah, go ahead. I'm like, well, in John 14, this is what I'm going to tell them. And I'm going to kind of just roll through this because it's hard for me to stop and comment. And so here's how I would go about this. And this is where the improv comes in because I like to just be able to just roll with it, right? I'm going to say, well, in John 14:6, and a lot of times I'll have my Bible or I have a tract that has the verse on it or something like that, right? I'm like, in John 14:6, it says, Jesus saith unto him, so Jesus is talking, and I know that because the words are red, and so that must mean it's really important, right? So Jesus saith unto him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. What do you think of that? A lot of times I'll stop and I'll say, what do you think of that? And they're like, well, it's just a Bible. Or, I don't know, or, you know, usually you're not going to, at that point, when you say, what do you think of that? They're not going to be like, that's cool, and leave. You've already started. They're caught, right? What do you think of that? And then they'll say whatever. You know, I'm trying to make this a conversation, not a one way. I'm just preaching at you. What do you think of that? Jesus saith unto him, in the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. What do you think of that? And they're going to give you some other who knows what the answer is. And then I'm going to say something along the lines of, well, here's what I think Jesus is trying to say here. Jesus is making three really bold statements right now. And he's talking to this guy, and he's making three very bold statements. And here's what he's saying. He says, I'm the way. Well, the way to what? Well, we'll get back to that, because I like to work my way backwards, right? So he says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. So he says, I'm the life. Well, what life? What are you talking about? I'm the life. Well, what he's trying to say is he lived a perfect life. And then I kind of try to have a conversation with him. Are you perfect? Have you ever done anything wrong? And a lot of times they're like, well, yeah, maybe I'm not perfect, but I do a lot of good things. Or, okay, well, that's what he's talking about when he says he's the life. He's the perfect life that you couldn't live, right? Jesus lived a life that was up here. He was perfect. He was sinless, right? And we're not. That's just the way we are. And we're all that away. It's not, I don't do bad things because I'm a bad person. I just do it because that's the way I was made, right? So Jesus, when he says he's the life, he's the perfect life that you couldn't live. Well, what does that have to do with you, right? Because I know what you're thinking, what does that have to do with me? Well, let me get to it. He says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. Well, I told you what the life was. He's the truth. Well, what truth is he talking about? What is he talking about when he says he's the truth? Well, we live in a society today where a lot of times we like to exchange the truth for a lie, right? We live in a society where, well, I believe this and you believe that and it's all relative, so let's just all get along. Well, how can we really live like that? It doesn't work like that, right? There has to be an absolute truth somewhere. If there's not an absolute truth somewhere, then 20 years from now, what you think is wrong today is going to be fine then. And then 20 years from then, so there has to be a truth somewhere, and Christ is saying he is that truth. That's what he's saying. So he was the life that you couldn't live, and he is the truth. And when you're talking about what's the truth, well, he was the life that you couldn't have, right? He's the truth. He was the only standard. There has to, at some point, be a standard that you live by. You probably believe that there's a heaven, right? Well, yeah, there probably is, right? Okay, so when you probably believe that you will stand before Christ someday, right? And you're going to be like, well, my good works are going to outweigh my bad, right? That's probably what most people think. Well, yeah, I do a lot of good things. Well, guess what? What he's trying to tell you is the truth that he's talking about, that's the standard. And his perfect truth doesn't allow your sometimes good, sometimes bad, in. Because if that's the case, then why can't the person who's really bad get in? Or the person who's even worse than him get in? There has to be a standard, right? If that's the case, then why didn't you go to jail for lying? Or why didn't you go to jail for this, that, or the other? There has to be a standard, right? There has to be a certain offense that gets you put in jail. That's what Christ did. He lived that life. He was that truth. There was a standard, and the standard is him. Well, we talked about that standard was a perfect life. And if you're not perfect, and he was perfect, and that's the standard, where does that leave you? Well, now we're back to the way. Remember, he said he's the way, the truth, and the life. The way to what? Well, he's the way to rectify that. There's a problem. He's perfect, and you're not. God's holy, and you're not. You have to do something about it. And you have to understand that you can't do anything about it. He is the way. He's the bridge that gaps. He's the way that he bridges the gap. God's holy, you're not. You have to find a way. And it's not by anything you can do. You can do good things your entire life. It's not going to get you there. God is the way. Christ is the way. Right? And at that point, if they're still there and they're still listening, you roll right into the way was his perfect life on the cross. He died, was buried, he rose again. Right? That's how the gospel works. And it's improv. It's different every time I share it because I'm not smart enough to memorize anything. So it's different every time I share it, but it's something along those lines, right? And I can use that and I can just roll with it talking to somebody on the street. On Friday night, I may not ever get through that whole thing. Does that mean that I failed? Does that mean that when I go home on Friday night that it was a waste of time? Go back to the beginning. All we have to do is be obedient. I have nothing to do with saving somebody from hell. I can pray for them. I can be burdened for them. I can be torn apart about it. But you know what? I have zero control of it other than just being obedient. That's what you got to do, right? I only got through two ways. That's two good ways. That's how I share the gospel, right? And evangelism is a big word that's really scary because it's like, that's not for me. People hear evangelism and they think, that's for that guy. That's for that guy. That's for Jeremy. That's for Brian. That's for the pastors. That's for the teachers. That's for... No. Evangelism is for you. It is one of the only things that is consistent throughout the entire New Testament. Go tell people about Christ. It is the most important thing, and it's the thing that we don't do. And we have to. You got to love people enough. You got to care enough to at least share it with them. Right? Even if it's uncomfortable, even if you're scared, even if people are different, even if all those excuses line up, just share the gospel with them. And you know what? At the end of the day, that's all you got to do. You know, we can paint people's faces, and we can play games with them, and we can do all the cool things to get their attention. But man, if we don't preach the gospel, then we failed. And that's the truth. And I mean, it's not what people want to hear, but that's the truth. You got to care enough to give them the gospel, right? You got to. So I hope that maybe that was good for somebody. You know, a lot of times we're like, yeah, I know the Romans Road. I know to share the gospel. And then when we go to do it, you're like, well, Christ changed my life. And, well, I was bad and I try to do good things. That's not the gospel. And you just made a fool of yourself. Know the gospel. Because when you know it, you can be bold. And when you know it, you can get out there and do it. Right? So I just wanted to get that out there before this weekend, if for no other reason for me, because it's good for me to get it out. And now I'm like, I'm ready to go. Is it Friday? Let's go. I'm ready. And I hope that you guys are too. You're ready to get out there and be rejected for Christ. Get out there and be rejected for Christ, right? Just get out there and do it. Because that's what God wants us to do. All right, so let's pray, and we'll roll. Father God, Lord, I love you, Lord. I thank you for...